All right, let's go to the Equifax breach. Now, how bad is this? What happened? What can you tell us?
Yeah, so, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, in my opinion, this is a 20. I think the reason, a 20. I know it sounds crazy, but let me kind of explain why. A lot of these breaches you've heard about in the past, you know, the Adobe breach, Yahoo, Target and such, many of them had users' information. Sometimes they had credit card information and they had addresses. But the truth is people can still make up a lot of that information when supplying to these third parties. When you look at somebody like Equifax, that is their business. Their job is to validate this information and make sure it's correct. Furthermore, there's not much you can do in the U.S. without having some sort of relationship with the credit report, right? I mean, getting a house, getting a car,
right,
your basic job, background checks, it's all tied to it. So now you've got this bucket of information, you know, names, social security numbers, birth dates, addresses, some driver's license numbers, credit card numbers, and over 180,000 other documents related to the dispute that have been taken. This is all verified information. This isn't, you know, I've pulled down some information off the dark web that I think maybe Dr. Drew's. This is, I have Dr. Drew's information, and I can go and say, without a doubt, this is who I am. The reason this becomes a real big problem, though, is it's not just a breach of passwords, which are easily changed. This is you as a person. This is everything about you. It's your life story. And that's the information that all these different providers, such as your bank and your credit card providers, use to validate who you are. For example, if I call and try to reset a password for my bank, they're going to ask me, you know, four or five addresses and say, which one of those was your legitimate address? Well, now a hacker with this document or this data set will be able to pick that out quite easily. So when you talk about the compromise, it's not just that this information has been compromised and validated. It's the subsequent breaches of data across pretty much every industry that's going to be impacted. And I think from that perspective, the reality is as I said, it's a 20 instead of even being a 10.
Oh, geez. And what does the average person do with this? I mean, what do we just die? We're all helpless? Yeah.
Well, you know, so here's one truthful thing a lot of people have misconstrued about hackers. The reality is you can't stop a hacker. A persistent hacker is going to be very good at getting information and using it. All you can do is take steps to try to mitigate or reduce that ability. So for the average consumer, the things you want to do is you obviously want to monitor your credit report and you want to make sure new accounts haven't been opened. But that's kind of ironic, though, if you think about it, when the services, for example, with Equifax, they're going to offer you credit monitoring, but the service is protected and owned by the same entity that was just breached. So how do you validate that 1 year of free service is even going to protect you?
Right.
And then the reality is because this information is information that won't change, this isn't a password that you're going to change. This is your information. That doesn't go away. And so a lot of the really smart criminals, they won't try to use this information in the first year. They'll wait 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years, because in 4 years, it's just as valuable as it was today. The difference being is you now no longer have this free credit monitoring, and the vast majority of people will have moved on and forgot about it. And so it's much easier for them to affect this kind of identity theft and fraud. So it is pretty tough. And the only real way to protect that is for you to proactively monitor your credit reports. And I don't mean just using a third-party monitoring service. I mean actually print out the reports from, you know, the major bureaus and check them from time to time.
Do you make anything of the story that some Equifax managers sold stock before the hack? Was that a coincidence, or is there a causational link there?
Yeah, that's a really tricky one there. I can tell you now, we deal a lot with multiple industries, and I've yet to go into an organization where, you know, the C-suite is not aware the moment any hypothetical kind of breach has gone on within that organization. I mean, it's not a small thing that people want to tread lightly because, I mean, take Equifax, right? This is a company that's facing a $70 billion class action lawsuit. You know, executives want to know when their organization is put up for these kind of issues. So to see such a large amount of sales of equity in this company around a timeline where people are disclosing a breach, both internally and waiting publicly, it's really, really sketchy. I'd be hard-pressed to think they didn't know.
It's concerning, right? It's concerning. It's not proof, but it's concerning.
I know you're not a finance guy, but can Equifax exist if they lose a $80 billion lawsuit, or is this another company that's just going to go under from their legal misgivings?
You know, that's a very good question. You know, $80 billion is not a small amount of money by any means. I mean, you're talking
maybe for you
$1 billion. yeah, exactly. The issue you start to run into is think about how deeply entwined they are into our system. I often wonder if this is going to be one of those type of organizations where it's too big to fail. If you think about it, how many automated processes are built around reports coming from Equifax? I mean, you literally cannot get credit or establish a residency without some sort of relationship with this. So I really wonder if it's something that could impact an organization simply because the secondary effects of it from third-party providers is just so large. I think realistically what the outcome needs to be is there definitely needs to be some sort of regulatory body that imposes and puts restrictions on data access and control. But at the end of the day, it definitely could break them. I just wonder if the reason they survive is not because of a necessity for the company, but because of a necessity for all the third parties' reliance on their business.
I don't think I heard the answer to what the average person should do, if anything.
Yeah. You know, that's a tough one. I think the real answer is just try to monitor your credit yourself as best as you can. Try not to use the same passwords in a lot of locations and things like that. And just be cognizant that, you know, every time you're giving your information away to a third-party provider, it's being put into these databases, and it puts you at risk. It's very reactionary what you can do right now by Equifax because this information's out there. But a lot of the proactive things you can do is, you know, be cognizant when you see these free offers for products and things simply for giving your name and address and phone number. Because the reality is if you're getting something for free, you're the product. And so I think as a consumer, the average consumer, simply being aware of everything going on day to day where you're giving this sort of information out is really the truthful answer. It's not even focusing on Equifax. It's simply focusing on protecting that information to begin with.